Okay, good talk. Today's daf is daf Samach Dalet. We're going to pick up on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. And 18 lines from the bottom. So it starts, Ki Aser Reb Dimi Amar Reb Yochanan. It's right across from Tosfos that starts with Minayin. So says the Gemara, when Reb Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Reb Yochanan, he said, Minayin La'arig Kol Shehu Shehu Tamei. How do we know that an arug, that's even a very small size, is tameh? So what is arug? Arug relates to the following, is that we learned the halacha previously in Shabbos. We talked about the fact that generally speaking, in order to be mekabel tumah, in order for something to get ritual impurity, it has to be of some minimum size. So for example, when it relates to a keli, to some kind of implement, so let's say you have a bowl. If it gets a small hole, it's still a usable thing because it could hold something bigger till the hole is big enough that, let's say, a pomegranate would fall through, so it ceases to become a keli. So similarly, when you have a beged, you have a garment or a piece of cloth that is larger and keeps getting reduced down. If it gets reduced beneath the level, generally speaking, of three etzpos, three fingers by three fingers, right? So we learned that previously, but now what the Gemara is saying is there's another category of something called arug. Arig means that it was woven, and the idea here is that if you purposely created it, it wasn't a larger piece of cloth that had something cut from it, but if you purposely created a very small piece of cloth that was for a given purpose, I mean, you had a reason to make that small cloth, then even if it's less than three finger breadths by three finger breadths, nonetheless, it can be makabel tuma because it has a purpose. So we're saying, from where do I know that if you have this woven thing that's less than 3 by 3 fingers, that it's tamei? Says the Gemara, mitzitz. You learn it out from the tzitz. Why? Because the tzitz, as we're going to see momentarily, was a 2 finger width high. So the tzitz was what the Kohen Gadol wore across his forehead, and it was the height of 2 finger breadths. So, by the way, when we talk about gimel etzvos, 3 finger breadths by 3 finger breadths, it's not that you multiply 3 by 3 and say it's 9 square finger breadths, if there's such a thing. It has to be minimum 3 by 3. So the tzitz was less than three because it was only 2 finger breadths tall. And yet, the tzitz was something that was capable, that was used as one of the begadim, one of the implement, the garments of the Kohen Gadol. And so therefore you see that something even less than 3 by 3 can be considered chashuv. Now, to understand this, you have to understand that the Gemara at this point is imagining or holding that the tzitz was, so we know that tzitz had to be made from gold. So the Gemara is assuming that it was made from gold thread and it was a woven article. We're going to see shortly that that's not the maskana of the Gemara, but that's what the Gemara would say at the moment. So ask the Gemara, Amrlei Abaya. So Abaya said to Rav Oven, wait, I have a problem with that. You're telling me that the tzitz, which is where we're learning from, that you could have this very small beged still being makabel tuma, the tzitz was not woven gold thread. It was actually gold. How does he say? So he says, the Brisa describes, as Abaya of a tzitz, Aruku was the tzitz, something that was woven. Well, Tanya, we learned in a Brisa, tzitz kemen tas shel zahav. It was like a plate the tzitz was like a plate of gold. Baruch of shtei etzbos. It was, its width, meaning this part, was like 2 finger widths. Umukaf me'ozen la'ozen, and it surrounded the Kohen Gadol's forehead from ear to ear. So basically, it was a tzitz went across the head like that. The kus of Allah, and it was written on it, bebeis shitin in 2 rows, yud hey. So when the Gemara writes yud hey, it's a reference to the Shem Havaya, to yud ke vav ke, or yud followed by a hey, followed by a vav, followed by a hey. This is the name of Hashem. So it says yud hey lamala. So the name of Hashem was above, the kodesh lamed lamata, and the kodesh and lamed were at the bottom. So there's a lot of discussion in the Rishonim about exactly how this laid out, but the basic concept was, you didn't want something, and once you understand that the tzitz was written kodesh l'Hashem on 2 lines, you would not want something to be written above the name of Hashem. So the way Rashi understands, it was written Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, beneath it was Kodesh Lamed, and you should consider it as if it said Kodesh Hashem. There are other views, but this part isn't really relevant to our sugya. The real reason we're bringing this is simply to demonstrate that the tzitz was a piece of metal. It wasn't a piece of woven fabric. So that's really our point. But the Braisa continues, Rav Lazar Rav Yossi says, Ani Reisi Beir Romi, I actually saw the tzitz, or eight tzitz, in Rome, the Kosov, and has written, Kodesh Lashem Beshita Achas. It was written, the whole thing was, it's not true that it was two lines with Hashem above and Kodesh Lamed beneath, or any of the other variations that the Rishonim described. He said, it said one line right across Kodesh Lashem. But in any event, what you see from this is that the tzitz was a piece of metal. I'll just point out, so Rashi points out that Rav Lezer Rav Yossi says that he saw it in Rome. Maybe I wouldn't normally go off topic, but since it's Lag BaOmer week, we'll talk because it has to do with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rashi says, "Shenichnas Otzer HaMelech," he went into the storage house, the treasure house of the king, "Lito Matzayirtze," to take whatever he wanted. "B'Maseches Me'ilah," this is written in Maseches Me'ilah, "B'Maisa Ben Talmion." So we learned this together in Me'ilah. We'll see if people remember it. But this was the story was that the Romans had enacted a decree that the Jews couldn't keep Shabbos, they couldn't keep Bris Milah, and they couldn't use the mikvah, so therefore they were trying to get them to be Baal Nidos, that they should have relations with their wives when they were Nidos without going to the mikvah. So it describes, I forget the name off the top of my head, but there was someone who went first and kind of tricked them into rescinding the decrees, but when they realized he was a Jew, they put them back into place, and then there was a whole story with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that he was going to Rome together with Rabbi Lezer Rav Yossi. Lots of interesting things about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai there, but in any event, eventually he was helped by the shade, who is Rashi refers to, Ben Talmion, was a shade, went into the daughter of the Caesar, and they made up beforehand, and then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was able to get the shade, the demon, to come out of the daughter, and in reward, the Caesar had said they could go take whatever they wanted from his storage house, from his treasure house, and that was when Rabbi Lezer Rav Yossi saw the tzitz. Why didn't he take the tzitz? Because what they went in to get is they took the decree that said the Jews couldn't keep Shabbos, couldn't keep Milah, couldn't keep Mikvah, and they took that and tore it up, and that's how the decree was annulled, was a story with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. But in any event, so we see from this story that it can't be that the tzitz was a woven fabric thing, because you see that it says it was a tash shel zav, it was a plate of gold. So therefore, we're going to say that that's not how you know that even when you make a very small woven thing, that it's still capable of being makabel tuma, even less than 3x3, is not learned from the tzitz, because the tzitz was not a woven thing at all. So kiselak rav dimilin ardoi shalach luhu dvarim shemarti lechem toz hem biyadai. So what happened was, we said that rav dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. And he came to the Beis Medrash and told him this. And he left there, and the Mefarshim explained that he had gone to Pumpadisa, which is where Abaya is, and in fact was at some point the Rosh Hashiva there. But he went from Pumpadisa to Nardai. When he got to Nardai, he sent back to Pumpadisa, and he said, this that I told you, that you learn that a piece of cloth less than 3x3 can become Tame, that you learn it from the tzitz, was a mistake. And in fact, we knew it was a mistake because Abaya brought a proof that the tzitz wasn't woven. But continues Rav Dimi, now I remember what it was that Rav Yochanan said. Barum kach amr mishum Rav Yochanan. Rather, certainly this is what they said in the name of Rav Yochanan. Minayin le tachshit kol shehu shu tamei. He says, how do I know that a tachshit, now we're not talking about a woven thing, but if you have a tachshit is an ornament of some sort, we've talked a lot about ornaments. So if you have a tachshit that's really small, how do I know that even though it's very small, it's still capable of being mekabel tuma? It's capable of being mekabel tuma because it is a tachshit, because it is an ornament. Says the Gemara, that I learned mitzitz. So now, once you're talking about a tachshit, an ornament, it makes much more sense how you learn from the tzitz, because the tzitz was in fact an ornament of sorts, and that's how we know that and the tzitz we said was only two finger breadths tall, and therefore you see something that's smaller than 3x3. Can nonetheless be makabel tuma when it's an ornament. So that's how we know the tzitz. Uminayin la'arig kol shehu shehu tameh. How do I know, which is what we started our whole sugya with, how do we know that this little piece of cloth that's less than 3x3, as long as it has a specified purpose, is capable of becoming tameh? He said, that we learn from Obeged. So what is Obeged? Because the pasuk, which we're going to deal with in a number of contexts in the next few minutes, is the pasuk that's written by Tumas Sheretz. And it says, V'chol asher yipol lav mehem b'mosam, that when you have one of these shratzim that's dead, that falls on these things, yitma becomes tameh, mikol kli eitz, any wood implement, o beged, a garment, or something that's a leather, that's a hide, o sack, or it's sackcloth, kol kli asher yasem malacha behem, v'mayim yuva, so whatever, it talks about what a sheretz can become a tameh. So it says the words o beged or a beged. So why couldn't it just said u beged and a beged? Why did it have to say or? So o is it, the fact that it was written out that way shows it's coming to add something. So we say, what's it coming to add? It's coming to add not only a beged, a regular garment, but even if you have this very small piece of cloth, less than 3x3, as long as it's made for a purpose, we learn from o beged that that is in fact capable of becoming tamei. Okay, so continues the Gemara. For those who joined, we're six lines from the bottom on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan, Arug Kol Shehu Tameh. So V'Tachshit Kol Shehu Tameh. Both this small woven piece of fabric, less than 3x3, as well as a Tachshit that's very small, becomes Tameh. As we just learned, the Tachshit, the ornament, is learned from the Tzitz, and the Arug, the woven thing, is learned from the word O. Continues the Gemara, Arug V'Tachshit Kol Shehu Tameh. And not only is a very small piece of cloth or a very small ornament going to be capable of becoming tamei, but even if you have something that's very small and half of it is woven and half of it is a takshit, nonetheless you should be able, that too can become tamei. Continues the brisa, mosif sak ala beged shetamei mishum arig, and a sack, meaning sackcloth, is better than a beged, because it becomes tamei because of arig, because of woven. Now the Gemara is going to try and figure out what that means, so we'll save it for the Gemara. So this is the brisa. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava. Rava explains, as we just said, arig kol shehu tamei. The brisa says that when you have this small piece of woven cloth, even less than 3x3, it's tamei. Why? May o, from the word o beged. I'm sorry, may o beged, because it says o beged. Takshit kol shehu tamei. How do I know that a very small Takshit, a very small ornament, becomes tamei mitzitz? We learned that out from the tzitz, because the tzitz was only 2 finger breadths tall. Arig v'takshit kol shehu tamei. How do I know that in something that is very small, and even despite being so small, half is only woven and half is a takshit, how do I know that that's tamei? It says we learned that out mikol kli masa. So what is mikol kli masa? Is talking about, it's the pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph. It says, "Vayikach Moshe veElazar Kohen es Hazav meitam," that Moshe and Elazar the Kohen took the gold from them. Kol kli masa, anything that was created. So you see, why did it have to say kol kli masa? Anything that is created comes to include something that is half ornament, half woven, to come to include that. Where is that pasuk written? That pasuk is written by the story of Midyan. So, because it's going to come up in a number of contexts here, we'll mention it now. That basically what happened was when Bilaam tried to curse the Jews, and it didn't work. They tried multiple times, and then they came up with this other plan that they were going to send the Midianite women to Klal Yisrael, and were going to cause them to trip up in matters of relations. That they were basically going to seduce the men. And so what happens? They in fact went and did that. And they were successful in that effort, and it resulted in a magefa, and a plague that killed 24,000 people amongst the Jews. And so what happened after that? After the magefa was over, they went to war with Midian, and they went to attack them for having lowered the standards and caused such a magefa, a plague amongst the Jews. And what happened? So they went, they fought, they were victorious, they came back, and they brought all of the jewelry and all of the plunder that they had from the fight. And the psukim tell us that basically because there was a battle going on there, we assume that anything that was there became tamei mase, became touched a dead body, and therefore it needed to become tar. Also, the fact that it was non-Jewish kalim is where we learn the idea that you need to take out The way in which you can kasher kalim is learned from there. But in any event, when it's referring to the gold and things that they took, again, we're going to get more into this as it goes, but when it's referring to it, it says, mikol kli masa, anything, any keli, any implement that's made, so it's coming to tell you that even that can become tame. So, okay, so says the Gemara, Amar le ahu mei rabbanan l'rava, so one of the rabbanan said to the Rava, hahu b'midyan ksiv, he said, that was written by Tumas Meis, and so wait a second, we're trying to figure out, in other words, we've been talking about Tuma, so we say that tells you, once you learn from the story by Midian, we were worried there about Tumas Meis. But how do we know that Tumas Sheretz can infect this very small, thing that is half woven, half ornament? In other words, because bringing me a proof from the Psukim by Midian only tells me Tumas Meis. Why is that? So Rashi says, Gabi Tumas Meis, Sheretz mi Meis lo Yalef. You can't learn the Tumah of Sheretz from the Tumah of Meis, lahachmir, to be machmir on something, to say even this very small implement can become tame. Why? The malame shekein tumaso chamura, because the Tumah of a Meis is much more than the Tumah of a Sheretz. How do you know that? Because if something becomes tame by a Sheretz, what's the halacha? That it's tame, and you have to go to the mikvah, and then that night, you are tahar, right? That's regular Tumah. But Tumas Meis, if someone touches a Meis, so then they become tummy for 7 days. So you see that mace, the tumah of mace is much more chamor than the tumah of sheretz. So you've proven to me that this very small implement, the half woven, half ornament implement is tummy mace. If it touches a mace, then it becomes tummy. But how do I know that even if it touches a sheretz? So say, amrle, gamar, kli mehasam. That by sheretzim it says, kol kli asher yeyasam melacha. So that's by Sheretz, it's written the word Kli, and we also learned by the Pasuk by Mace, it says, Vayikach Moshe Belazar Kohen Esav Meitam Kol Kli Masa. So you have the word Kli that's written both by talking about Tumas Mace, the impurity that comes from a Mace, as well as by the impurity that comes from a Sheretz. So therefore, you see that there's a parallel between them, and based on that Xer Shava, we'll learn out. So what are we left with? We're left with that a very small woven item is learned from the word O Beged, the added word O. A very small ornament is learned out from the tzitz. And when you have this mixed woven and ornament, very small item, the fact that it becomes Tamei Meis, you learn from the story with the battle of Midian that they came back and it says Kol Kli Masa comes to include even this very small thing. And how do I know it by Tumas Sheretz? I know it because we learned Tumas Sheretz from Tumas Mace. So we're now at the top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. So says the Gemara, we're going to continue on this theme, and I apologize in advance, it's a little bit technical of the psukim of Tumah and Tara, but we'll work through it. Says the Gemara, Mosiv Sak El Beged Shetameh Mishom Arig. Okay, by the way, we're going to get to where I said it's complicated, it's coming up a little bit. First, we'll deal with one other thing, which we said in the Brisa, that sackcloth has something on top of other garments, that it becomes Tamei Mishum Arig. Now, if you remember, Arig, I mentioned to you, is that woven thing that's very small, but it was made for that purpose. So says the Gemara, Atu Beged Lav Arig Hu? Is it true that Beged, that a regular garment is not Arig? In fact, it doesn't make any sense, because the whole way we knew that this small Arig was less than three by three was capable of becoming tummy was because we said oh beged. It's an addition on the halachas of beged. So obviously it applies by beged. So what does it mean when it says that sack has this over beged that it's tummy mishum arig? A regular beged also has arig. So the Gemara says hachi karma. This is what it meant to tell you. Mosef sack ala beged afal pishein arig tummy. That a sack has this over a regular beged, that even though it's not woven, it can still become tame. So now says the Gemara is going to try to figure out what exactly, obviously if something's capable of becoming tame, then it has to be useful for something. So lemai chazi, what can you use it for that we're saying that this very small thing that's not even woven, it's just threads, is going to become tame. So Rabbi Yochanan says, shekein ani kalea shalosh nimin, the Tola Vatsavar Bito. It's beautiful. Someone who is very poor. Nonetheless, he wants to make a gift for his daughter, so he takes three woven threads of goat hair, because sack is made out of goat hair, And he takes three woven threads and he makes a little necklace and he basically makes a chain of them. He doesn't weave them. But, and he hangs it, but Savar Bita, on the neck of his daughter. So he basically made her a necklace out of three strands of woven goat hair. So what the Gemara is saying, if you look around, Rashi explains that we're saying that it's Arug Ve'ino Arug, meaning what's the idea? So far we've said that something needs to be out of spun thread and it has to be woven. Now we're saying there's the sack has something different, where as long as it was spun thread and there was some method of either twisting it together or making a chain but not woven, that's the special halacha by sack, that even though it's not woven, it's only put together in some other fashion, it's still capable of becoming tame. What is that implement good for? It's good for making a cloth three-string necklace for his daughter. Okay, so now comes the part about figuring out the source for all these halachas. Tana Rabbanan. The Rabbanan learned as follows. Sak ein li ela sak. Minayin lerabos es hakilkali es hachovek. So we say, okay, the pasuk tells us by Tumas Sheretz. The pasuk says, I read it before, but we'll just say again very quickly. Any wood thing, o beged, or garment, or leather, o sack, or sack. So that's sackcloth. So we say, okay, I see sackcloth from the pasuk, but how do I know that this comes to include kilkali and chavak? So what are kilkali and chavak? Rashi explains, these are basically things that, it's like a belt that went underneath the animal to tie the saddle to the animal, or in some other fashion, attached the animal to the implements of riding or working with them. So these are basically kilkali and chavak are things that are made out of sackcloth. And so we're saying, how do you know to come to include those things? So why do you need to include them? Because so far we've learned sack, which is used for human beings. But this stuff, kilkali and chavak, are used only for animals. So how do I know that that usage of sackcloth is enough to make them capable of becoming tameh? So it says, tamalomar o sak. So just like we learned before, o beged, the word that said o instead of a vav, it said the word o, comes to add something. So it's saying not only is sackcloth that Rashi points out could be worn by roim, by shepherds, not only is sackcloth itself tameh, but even these implements for a horse that are made, or an animal, the kilkali and chavak, that are made out of sack, those also are capable of becoming tameh. So where do I know that those can become tameh? Because it says, o sack, or sack. So says the Gemara, okay, once you're telling me that I include lots of things that are made out of sack, yachol shani marves hachavolim es hameshichos. So then maybe I should include rope, or meshichos are things that basically, that were used to measure. So let's say someone wanted to know, how long is 3 feet? So they would take a 3 foot rope that had been previously measured to be 3 feet, and that's how they would use to measure things. So these kinds of things are made from sack. Now sackcloth is the hair of a goat, the sayar of the goat, the hair of a goat. So it's saying, okay, so once you're telling me that I can use regular sackcloth and become tameh, and the sackcloth that ties the animals together, the harness to the animal can be used. So maybe I can also say that these ropes that are used for measuring should also be capable of becoming tameh. So the Gemara says, sorry, tamalomer sack. The pasuk says sack, which is sackcloth. Masak tavivarig afkol tavivarig. He says only things that are woven threads and spun threads and woven, only those things like sack can become tameh. So therefore, chavalim and meshichos, the measuring strings, are not capable of being used. Now, this is why it's important what I said to you before when we included the necklace. That's why, even though it's not arug woven in the traditional sense, but since he spun them together, so that counts as long as the string is spun and he then wove it. But when we're talking about these meshichos and chavalim, they were neither, the string wasn't spun, and it wasn't woven, it was intertwined, but it wasn't woven. So therefore, we're saying, so what are we up to? We're saying that sackcloth, yes, it becomes tameh. Even the kilkali and chavak, which binds the animals, that is also can become tameh, because at the end of the day, it's woven. But something like ropes does not work because it's not like sack that is spun and woven, and therefore that would not become capable of becoming tummy. So says the Gemara, Harehu Omer b'meis, okay, so says the Gemara, now, by mace, so now we've learned these things, a sack and osak, which is where we learned out sackcloth and animal, bindings, but not the ropes, was by, written by Tumas Sheretz. What about by mace? So we say as follows, it says, v'chol kliar, v'chol masei izim tischatou, that it says anything that's made out of goats, this is again going, we're talking Tumas mace, we're back to the implements by Midyan. So it's saying that everything needed to be purified, anything that was made out of goats. So larabas hakilkali v'sachavak. So then for mace, that comes to tell you that kilkali and chavak are included because kilkali and chavak are also made out of goats. So therefore we would know by mace, not only sack, which is made out of goats, but also kilkali and chavak, these things that bind the animals are made out of goat hair. Those are capable of becoming tamei mace from the pasuk that's written by Midian. So says the Raisa continues, Yachosh animar b'sachavolam v'samashichos. Okay, once you're telling me anything made out of goats, so maybe I will tell you that these measuring ropes that measure distance that are made out of unspun and unwoven goat stuff should be included. So says the Gemara. The Gemara tries to say that that logic alone would tell you not. Says the Gemara, v'dinhu, it should be capable of being determined by logic. Timei b'sheretz v'timei b'meis. We've already established that sackcloth can become tamei by a sheretz, and it can also become tamei by a mace. By a sheretz, it's known because the pasuk says sack explicitly, and by a mace, it's known because it says kol masei izim, anything made out of goats. So we should say, okay, goat hairs are covered both by sheretz and tamei. So ma kishatimei b'sheretz lo timei ala tavi va'areg. Af kishatimei b'meis lo timei ala tavi va'areg. So we're going to say, okay, we already figured out by sheretz that although the word sack and a sack and osak come to include those things, but it only includes something like sack, which is woven and spun. And since these ropes are not woven and spun, just like by sheretz, they were no good and not capable of becoming tamei, so too by mace, they should be incapable of becoming tamei. So the Gemara says, hein. And so Rashi says, hein is betmia. It's like, how could you say that? Those aren't parallel. Im hikol betamei sheretz shehi kala, naku betuma hamei shehi chamura. So the Gemara says you can't just learn it out based on the fact that sheretz doesn't allow for things that are only allows for things that are spun and woven to become tamei. So therefore, the same halacha should apply by mace. It says it doesn't work that way because mace, as we established before, is more chamor. Mace is more serious because if someone becomes tamei to a mace, they're tamei for 7 days, whereas a sheretz they're only tamei for 1 day. So therefore, you can't just learn it out by logical inference. So it says the Gemara, okay, fine, I'll bring you a pasuk that proves that ropes are excluded from Tumas Mace. How do I know? Tamalomar, beged va'ar, l'gzera shava. Because we have a gzera shava of the words beged and ar. What is it? Says the Gemara, nemar beged va'ar b'sheretz. By sheretz, we already said the pasuk a number of times, but it says, mikol kli eitz, o beged, o ar, o sak. So you see, beged and ar are both included there. V'nemar beged va'ar b'mace. And similarly, in the pasuk, it said v'chol beged v'chol kli ar v'chol masei izim v'chol kli eitz tischatou by Midyan. It says the words beged v'ar. So we say ma beged v'ar hamar b'sheretz loytimei ala tavi v'arig. Because just like we learned by sheretz, that only something that is sackcloth that is spun and woven can become tamei. So just like that's true by tumas sheretz, and we have a gzeirah shava between sheretz and mace. So af beged va'ar ha'omer b'meis lo timei ela tavi va'arig. So therefore, even by tumas meis, we only include things that are spun and woven, but excluded from that would be ropes. Okay, so sorry, it's technical. We're going to get through this soon, but just to recap where we are, that we're talking about three things. We're talking about sackcloth itself. We're talking about sackcloth things that are used to bind an animal which are spun and woven, but they're for an animal. And then we're talking about ropes which are not spun and woven. So the first two we say are capable of being mekabel tuma, and the third one, the ropes, is not capable of being mekabel tuma. How do we know it? We know sackcloth by, so we're going to do tumas sheretz first, and then we'll do tumas mace. Tumas sheretz, we know sackcloth itself. Why? Because the pasuk says sackcloth. How do I know that it includes the things that bind the animals? It's because it says o sack or sack, and since o is an addition, so we are adding onto that the things that bind the animals. So then maybe I would say that ropes, measuring ropes, are also included. To that says the Gemara, sorry, it's written sack. Sack means something that's spun and woven, so therefore ropes that are not spun and woven are not included. So that covers tumas sheretz. How do I know tumas mace? I know sackcloth by tumas mace because it says, I know sackcloth and the implements for animal because it says kol matzeizim, anything made out of goats. So then I would say, okay, well, if it's anything made out of goats, maybe I should include also ropes, measuring ropes. And we say, no, sorry, because there's a gzeira shava between, its logic isn't enough, but there's a gzeira shava between sheretz and mace. And just like by sheretz, we say only things that are woven, so too by tumas mace, it's only things that are woven. So it continues the braisa. Uma beged va'ar ha'amor b'mace, tamei. And just like you see that beged var, which is written by mace, is tamei kol ma'aseizim, anything that's made out of goat hair is covered by tumas mace. Af beged var ha'amr b'sheretz tamei kol ma'aseizim. So too, anything that's written, that applies by sackcloth, it covers kol ma'aseizim. So what it's saying now is that once we have a gzera shavah from sheretz to tumas mace, we can learn from tumas mace to sheretz also. Now this is a little complicated because we already figured out all three halachas by sheretz, and we didn't need to come on to the gzera shavah of tumas mace. So the Gemara is going to address that in a minute. We're going to see what the Gemara means by this. So continues the brisa. Ein li ela davar haba min ha'izim, minayin l'rabos davar haba mizanav hasus mizanav hapara. So the Gemara now, the brisa is talking about something else. It says, okay, you figured out all these things that are by sackcloth, but we also reference anything that's made out of goat hair. So I would say only goat hair, but how would I know that if you made something from the tail of a horse or the tail of a cow, that can become tame? Says the Gemara, tamalomar, therefore it's written o sak, or sak. So o is an addition, and therefore that tells you that you can use something even something from the tail of a horse or a cow can become tame. So now ask the Gemara. So we finished the braisa. So the Gemara asks, "V'ha pixel kilkuli v'chabak." So it says, "Wait a second. You can't use o sak because that was how we learned out that the horse that the animal implements made out of sack are capable of becoming tame. So we already used that. So you can't use it to teach you about horse tail and cow tail hairs." So the Gemara says, "Hani milim mikami delesi gzer shava, hashe das gzer shava, iaiterle." So he says as follows, wait a second, we only needed osak before we had the gzer shava. Once we have the gzer shava, we don't need osak to tell you anymore to include the animal implements. So therefore, osak is available to tell you that osak is available to tell you that when something is made out of the tail of a horse or of a cow, that it's tame. All right, so now we're finished, but we just have to revisit how we know, because we made a switch here in how we know these things. So again, by sack, we have three categories. We have sack itself, we have the animal implements made out of sack, both of which are capable of becoming tame, and then we have ropes, which are not capable of becoming tame. So the way the Gemara is now learning, how do I know sack? I know sack because the pasuk says. How do I know the animal implements? Previously, we had said we learned it from osak, but now we know we don't need osak for that. Why? Because we have a gzera shava between tumas mace and tumas sheretz. And since by tumas mace, it said anything made out of izim, so therefore we know even these animal implements which are made out of izim are also capable of becoming tame, so we know it from tumas mace. How do I know that ropes and strings for measuring are not included by tumas sheretz? Because it says the word sak. Sak means spun and woven, and these ropes are not spun and woven. Okay, going to tumas mace, how do I know sak itself as well as the animal implements? Because it says kol ma'aseizim, anything made out of goats. So we say, wait a second, if it's kol ma'aseizim, maybe it includes also measuring ropes? Says the Gemara, sorry, because there's a gzera shava between sak and mace, and since sak is only something that's spun and woven. So too, that which becomes tamei meis between by the words of the pasuk, kol maase izim, anything made out of goat, tells you anything made out of goat that's spun and woven, but not anything else. So what are we left with? We're left with the words osak, which were extra. We're now going to use to tell you that that something that's made out of the tail of a horse or the tail of a cow is capable of becoming tamei. I jumped ahead because I had to finish reading the Gemara, but so we're saying as follows that I explained what it means that the Gzeir Shem was extra, but now the Gemara walks through it. Ve'en li ela b'sheretz b'tumas meis minayin. He says, how do I know? So he says, how do I know the halachos by tumas meis? He says, v'dinhu, because I'll tell you that logic should tell it to you. We say timei b'meis v'timei b'sheretz, that we see that sackcloth is tamei b'meis and is tamei b'sheretz. Makash timei b'sheretz asadavar habamizina. I'm sorry. So what's going on here is the Gemara figured out that sack told you that the tail of a horse, or tail of a cow, something made from it can become tamei. So the Gemara wants to know. We learned that out from Osak. Osak is written by sheretz. How do I know that by tumas meis? It says ve'en li ela b'sheretz v'tumas meis minayin. How do I know by tumas meis that something made out of cow tail or horse tail can become tamei? So the Gemara initially tries to say v'dinhu. I'll tell you by logical inference. Timei b'meis v'timei b'sheretz, that you have tuma that comes by meis and tuma that comes by sheretz. Makash timei b'sheretz asadavar haba mizanav asus mizanav apara kimase izim. He says as follows, that just like by sheretz, where we learn from the word osak, o is extra, we said, comes to include products made out of the tail of a cow or a horse, so just like there's tumah by sheretz, so too there's tumah by mace. So we should just learn by logical inference. Says the Gemara, hein, is that true? In here, but betumas erev, shehimaruba, Nirba Batuma Shiva Shimuatas. He says, if I'm gonna add a chumrah by things that are tame only until that evening, of which there are many different kinds of tuma, Rashi lists off what are the many different kinds of tuma. He says, sheretz and avelo, shikhvazera and zav, all of these things are only until the evening. So there's many, many different kind of tumas that are only until the evening. So therefore, can I assume that a chumrah that's put by the lesser cases of one day tuma, but of which there are many, can I assume that tumas shiva, the waiting the tuma 7 days, of which there's only one case, which is touching a mace, can I automatically assume that just because something is tamei by sheretz, which is only tamei till the evening, can I automatically assume that something that same thing would become tamei for 7 days when it touches a mace? I have to learn it out. It's not enough to just have that logical inference. So before we said, before we were trying to learn a kula, a leniency, and we said, how could you learn a leniency from sheretz to tumas mace? Because tumas mace is more chomer. Now we're going the opposite way. We wanted to learn a chumrah from sheretz, that it includes the tail of a horse and a cow, and we want to learn that to tumas meis. We say, hold on a second. In a certain level, you can imagine that the Torah would add a category of tumah, but only till that night. Who said that they would automatically, just because they added it by sheretz, who said they would add it to meis, which is going to result in it having a 7 day tumah? So tamal omer, therefore it says, beged var l'gzer shava. So we're going to fall back again on our good old gzer shava between tumas sheretz and tumas meis. Nemar beged var b'sheretz. It says the words beged and ar by sheretz, v'nemar beged and ar b'mace, and it says it by mace, ma beged v'ar amor b'sheretz, asa davar abba mizanav asus, mizanav apara kamase izim, just like by tumas sheretz, where we made something that is made from the tail of a horse, or the tail of a para, is like everything else, in that it's capable of becoming tame, like the other mase izim, af beged v'ar amor b'mace, asa davar abba mizanav asus, mizanav apara kamase izim, so too by tumas mace, that we're going to take anything that's made from the tail of a cow or tail of a horse, and we're going to say that it's capable of becoming tamei. So now we've gotten through all of the technicalities, but the Gemara is just going to want to establish something about this Gzeir Shava. So the Gzeir Shava says, Umufna It has to be that this Gezer Shava is Mofne. So let's just take a moment. We learned this in Nida, so not that long ago, a machlokas in the Maseches Nida that discusses as follows. So a Gezer Shava is finding things between two psukim that have the same words. Now you need a Masora that there's a Gezer Shava, but in any event, if you have a regular Gezer Shava, you have two words that are used, you can learn from one category to the next. Now, if there is a basis under which to say, by logic, that maybe these things are not parallel because there's a chumrah in one that doesn't exist in the other, so then the Gezer Shava doesn't work anymore. Now, when is that true? That's true if you're simply relying on there being the same word in both places. But if one or both, we're going to see machlokas, which you need. Do you need one or do you need both? If one or both, well, let's put it this way. If both sides, in other words, you have the same word used in two places, if in both those places that word is extra, everyone agrees that that's an absolute Gezer Shava, and just because you can point to a chumra from one over the other, it doesn't affect its ability to learn out. In terms of what happens if it's free from only one side, meaning, let's say you have the word beged and ar, which we're talking about here, if in one side it was unnecessary, but the other side it was necessary, that's a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim about whether you could ask on it. So we're saying as follows, that if you have neither of them are extra, then if you find some logical reason to uproot it, it's uprooted. If both of them are extra, you can't uproot it, and one, it's going to be a machlokas. So now the Gemara says, it has to be that this Gezeirah Shava that we learned from Beged and Ar by Tumas Sheretz to Beged and Ar by Tumas Meis has to be a case of Mufna, has to be a case where the word is extra, because otherwise I would have a very good question to ask. The Mufna, it has to be Mufna, the Ilah of Mufna, because if not for the fact that the Beged and Ar are extra, Ikal and Mifrach, I could ask a very good question. Mala Sher Shekem Mekhamim B'chadasha. So he says the halacha is that tumas sheretz conveys through a piece of a sheretz that's even the size of a lentil, versus tumas meis, generally speaking, only conveys tuma when it's the size of a kezias. So you see that there's a chumra in the case of tumas sheretz that doesn't exist, and it's more chamor than the case of tumas meis. So therefore, if you're telling me that we're learning out from Gezeira Shava, the problem is, if neither side, the words Beged and Ar are extra, then I'm going to ask a question and say, well, wait a second, I don't think you can use this Gezeira Shava because there's a way in which Sheretz is more Chomer than Tumas Meis. So therefore, it must be that we're dealing with one that's extra. So we're going to try and figure out what's extra. So the Gemara says, Lai, of course, you're right, Afnuye Mufti, it is in fact extra. Why? She says, Michti, let's see. Why are the words Beged and Ar extra that we're able to learn it out and say that as Mufna? Because we say as follows, Sheretz Ishkish L'Shechva Zera, that Sheretz has a Hekish between it and Shechva Zera. Why? Dechsiv, because it's written, Isha Shetetzi Mimenu Shechva Zera. I think this might have been in today's Parsha. That if you have a man who comes from him, Shechva Zera, V'samoch Lei, and near that, so this is darshaning smichos when parshas are next to each other. It's written isha sher yiga b'chol sheretz, any man that touches a sheretz. So what do you see? You see that there's a link between sheretz and shechva zera because they're written next to each other. Uksiv be b'shechva zera, by shechva zera it's written v'chol beged v'chol or asher yia lov shechva zera. That it already says beged and or, that it talks about garments and hides. In the case of Shechva Zera, so Begivar, the Kasav Rachmana, but Sheretz Lomali. So what do I need? Once I know that Shechva Zera and Sheretz are linked, and by Shechva Zera it says Beged and Ar, so I should not need to write the words Beged and Ar by Sheretz, because I would know it from Shechva Zera. So Shmamino Lafnuye. So you see that the words Beged and Ar that are written by Sheretz are extra. Why? Because I could have learned it from Shechva Zera, but I wrote it anyway. So why did I write it? To be extra in order that you should not be able to ask and uproot the Gezeirah Shava by saying that Sheretz is more chomer than Tumas Meis because it's with the size of a lentil. So the Gemara says, Akati Mufna Mitzad Echad Hu. So wait a second though. You've only shown me why the words Beged and Ar that are part of this Gezeirah Shava, you've only shown me why they're extra by Sheretz. So Hani Cholamanda Amra Mufna Mitzad Echad Lemeidin Vein Meshivin. So he says, okay, that works well according to the Manda Amar, which I think is Rabbi Shmuel, who says that if something is free from one side, it's available from one side, You can learn, and when you ask a question, it does not uproot it. It basically saying that one side being open, one side being mufne is enough to say you cannot question the gzeir shava. But according to the one who says that if you only have one side extra, you could still ask a logical, biological question, you could uproot the gzeir shava. So we have a problem because here we have a logical upset because sheretz works even with the size of a lentil and mace only has the size of an olive. Now it is true that you proved to me that the words beged and ar are extra by sheretz, but you didn't prove to me that it's extra by mace. So according to the one who says you need both to be extra for the question to be shut down, what are you going to do? So ma'ikla meimar. So the Gemara says, the mace nami afnui mufna. He says, no, I'll answer you that the words beged and ar didn't need to be written by tumas mace either. And therefore it's extra on both sides. How so that didn't need to be written? Michti, let's see. Mace ishkas l'shechva zera. That there's a hekesh between Tumas Meis and the tum of Shechva Zera of Semen. The Chsiv, because it's written, Managea b'chol tamei nefesh, O ish asher teitzei mimena Shechva Zera. It talks about someone who's tamei to a dead body, or a person that came forth from him Shechva Zera. And so you see a link, a hekesh between Shechva Zera and Tumas Meis. Uksiv b'Shechva Zera b'chol beged b'chol or. So, and it's already written by Shechva Zera, beged and or. So why do I need it to be written by Tumas Meis? Begavar, the cause of Rahman of a mace, lamali, why do I need it written by Tumas Mace? Shma mino alaf nuye, it comes to tell you that it's extra on both sides. So the words beged and are extra by sheretz, because I could have learned it from Shechva Zera, and they're extra by mace, because I could have learned it from Shechva Zera. So therefore, the gzer shava that we were relying on constantly to prove our points here stands, despite the fact that you could ask a question on it, that you see that in a certain sense, sheretz is more chamor than Tumas Mace. Okay, so now we're through the hard part, and we have some interesting Gemaras coming up. Not that that wasn't interesting, but it's a little more technical. Okay, continues the Gemara. So we were talking about the story I referenced at the beginning, the exact story with Midian and when the soldiers came back after they attacked Midian. So it says, so the pasuk is written. It says, "Vanakrev es karban Hashem." Ish asher matza klizav etzadav etzamid tabas ogev uchumaz. It says that basically the soldiers brought a karban, they brought an offering, all the things they found. The klizahav were gold things, etzada was something they wore on their feet. We talked about that previously, recently in the Gemara. Vitzamid is I think a bracelet, tabas is a ring, ogev uchumaz. They brought all those things. We'll see in a second what ogev uchumaz is. Rabbi Lazar, Ogol zed the fush shel dadin. That Ogol is basically a defus is like a form, I'm trying to think what the right word is, like a cast. Basically it was something that covered a woman's breasts. So it was shaped like breasts of a woman. Kumaz zed the fush shel beis harechem. That kumaz was something that was a form. That, so these were basically, the first one was like a jewelry or decoration that a woman wore over her breasts, and the other one was something that had the form of her beis harechem, is a reference to her womb, but it means that it was something that covered her pubic area, and maybe it sounds like it went into the body. So this was a decorative thing. So when they brought along all of the things that they had captured from the Midianim, they included, they brought the agil and the chumas, which were these things that covered a woman's breasts and covered a woman's pubic area. So Amar of Yosef, Ihachi, this makes sense. If so, Hainan de Metargaminon, that's why the Targum of Machuch is Dover Hamevi Lide Gichuch. So Machuch, which we're saying is, which is the Targum, which is the Targum of this word, either agil or chumas, I don't remember. So it says, that's the Targum. It makes sense because Machuch is something that brings you to Gichuch. What's Gichuch? Rashi says, it's Leitzanus. So the basic idea is that it makes sense that it would translate this item as Machuch, which is similar to Leitzanus, because basically it's a reference to the fact that these were implements that were meant to highlight the woman's sexuality or something like that. And if you remember, the women of Midian had come to seduce the men of Klal Yisrael. So you see that which they brought was related to the word Gichuch, which is a reference to Leitzanus, which is the laughter or the lightheartedness or light lightheartedness that led to Avera. Amrle Rabba Migufa de Kroshma Mina. I learned that from the Pasuk itself. I don't even need the Targum. Why? Because Kumas, the word Kumas, which we said was this item that went into a woman's pubic area, where did the word Kumas come from? Kan Makam Zima. Here is the place of Zima. Zima is like immorality. So the idea was that that's what the soldiers brought were the implements of immorality of the women of Midian. Okay, says the Gemara. The Gemara is further continuing the story with the soldiers and Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayiktsaf Moshe pekudei achayil. Moshe got angry at the soldiers, the Klal Yisrael soldiers. Rashi says because they brought back these implements. And so, Amr Rav Nachman, Amr Rabba Bar Avua, Amr Lehem Moshe Yisrael. So Rav Nachman says the name of Rabba Bar Avua that as Moshe said to the soldiers, to the B'nai Yisrael, who went, Shema Chazartem L'Kalkulchem. Maybe you return back to your ways of Kilkul, of destruction. Why? L'Kalkulchem Harishon, to your original destruction. Because he sees they came back with these implements of immorality. So he's like, maybe you acted immorally with the women of Midian again, and you didn't learn from the Magefa of 24,000 people. So the Gemara says, Amalo, they said to him, Lo nifkad mi menu ish. No man among us was lost. And Rashi says, Lo nechzer mi das Yehudis. No man of us was lost from the law of the Jews, meaning everyone kept their sexual morality. People did not get engaged again with the women of Midian. They just went and conquered them, and that's it. So he said to the soldiers, he said, okay, fine, I accept the fact that you didn't do anything wrong, but imken kapara lama. So then, why are you bringing a carbon? You're bringing all of these implements as a carbon. A carbon is to atone for something. What did you do wrong? If you weren't immoral with these women, then why don't you keep this stuff? Why are you bringing it as a carbon? So amrulo, they said, imidei avera yatsanu, imidei hira lo yatsanu. So they said, you're right, it's true that we didn't sin with them in immorality, but we thought about sinning, and for the fact that we thought about sinning, that we were enticed by these women, that's why we're bringing all of these jewelry and all of the as well as their implements of immorality. We're bringing all of that as a carbon to Hashem. So it says miyad v'nakriv as carbon Hashem. Immediately, Moshe Rabbeinu accepted, and the pasuk says Moshe and Elazar that they accepted these things from the soldiers because the soldiers did not sin with the women, but they did think about sinning, and on that basis, they brought a carbon, and they took all of the jewelry and stuff that they had taken from the women and gave it as a carbon to Hashem. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. We learned in the base measure of Rabbi Shmuel. B'fnei ma hotzuchu Yisrael shabos hadar kapara? Why did the Jews of that generation who came back from Midian need kapara? Mipnei shazanu einayhem min ha'erva. That they satisfied Rashi says lashon mazon. It's like a sustenance shenanu b'maris ha'ayin, that they enjoyed looking at the erva at the immorality of the women of Midian. So a similar point. Amar Rav Sheshes mipnei ma mana kasav tachshitin shebachutz im tachshitin shebefnim. So the Gemara wants to know as follows. In other words, okay, I get it. They brought the chumas and the chumas and the agil, the Torah says specifically that they brought them. Why? Because those were the things that they had ideas of sinning with. So that's why they brought them. And that's why the Torah said exactly what they brought. But the question is, why did the Torah have to say the regular things like bracelets and things that went on their feet and rings? We could have just said they gave everything they took. I get it why they have to talk about the sexual ornaments, but why do they have to talk about the regular jewelry? So the Gemara says, "Lamer lecha, come to tell you, kol mestaka be'etzba katana shel isha kilu mestaka b'makam atorfa." That if someone looks at a woman's small finger, which we see by the fact that it says they brought the rings that they had done, that it looks at a woman's small finger, it says if he looked in her place of nakedness, and therefore that's actually a quote that we have encountered relatively recently in Brachos, it talks about that. Okay, so we've now finished, says the Mishnah. So we've been talking for a while about things that people can go out into Rishis Rabim with and things they can't. You're actually going to be familiar with large parts of this Mishnah because we've quoted it in different contexts over recent Dafim. Says the Mishnah, Yotza Isha Bechutei Seyar, that a woman can go out with, um, with, with strings of hair. We're talking about hair that's no longer attached to her. And it's saying that that she can go out. She can go out basically that she would braid hair, use hair to like as like a ponytail holder or as like a braiding mechanism or something. They would put extra external hair into her hair. So we say a woman can go out with that. Bein mishalah, whether it's her own hair. Bein mishal chaverto, whether it's her friend's hair. Bein mishal behema, even if it's animal hair. And the reason is because it is not, hair is not capable of tying other hair with sufficient tightness that you would need to loosen it for the mikvah. And if we remember, we were worried that they might come to carry it, so that's fine. Ubetotefes ubesarvitin bizman shein tfurim. That, we talked about this before. Totefes and sarvitin were things that, were ornaments that went in the hair or on her head. So we said before that you cannot go out into a Rishus HaRabim with them, but you can if they're sewn. What does it mean to be sewn? So Rashi points out that this is talking about, this is L'sivcha. We learned that sivcha is this thing that a woman would wear under her hat that covered her hair. And so if these implements were attached to that sivcha, she could go out with them in Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because in order to show a friend, which is what we're worried about, she's going to take it off to show a friend, but in order to do that, she's going to have to uncover her hair, and a woman's not going to uncover her hair, so therefore, we're not worried, and she's allowed to go out as long as it's sewn to this sivcha, but if it's not sewn, we're afraid she's going to pull it out and show her friend, and then she might come to carry it. The kavel u'peya nachris l'chatzir. So now, we actually encountered this. A kavel, we said, is some kind of like a cap that covered her head. Now, if you remember, we dealt with the question, was it a cap or was it something that showed wood evidence? But the Rashi says here for sure we're talking about the idea that it was a cap because you'll see it goes along with Peyanachris. Peyanachris is someone else's hair. If we have time, which we already don't, but maybe at the end if people are interested, we could talk about this sugya that we're going to learn soon has a lot to do with the question of whether women can wear a sheitel, whether they can wear a wig that is their hair or someone else's hair. Without further covering that. But in any event, the Gemara says, a kavel, this cap, peyanachris, so the Rashi explains that if a woman had thin hair, she would take someone else's hair and put it in her hair, it's like extensions or something, but basically so that she looks more full, her hair is more full. We'll see in the Gemara why they would do this and what's the concern that they shouldn't do it. But we said, in previous Gemaras, we said that a kavel and a peyanachris, you can't go out with, the Mishnah said. But what they were saying is now you can go out to the chatzir. It's true, you can't go in Rosh Hashanah with this kavel or with this peyanachris, but you can go out to the chatzir. And what else can you wear? B'moshe ba'azna, with a moch is like a wad of something, or cloth. She puts it in her ear. Rashi has very interesting language to describe it. He says, shenosenes, she puts this wad in her ear, livloa lecha shel tsoas ha'ozen, to absorb the liquid of the tsoas ha'ozen, the refuse of the ear. So basically, I guess, if she had a dripping wax of some sort. So she put in a moch in her ear. Umoch shev sandala, Rashi says that's for tanug. It's for her comfort. Like she puts in a tissue to like make her shoe fit better. Ubemoch shev skinal in yidasa, or she has, Rashi explains this is so a wad of cloth that a woman would put. Basically, it sounds like a pad or a tampon, something she would use to not have a blood get on her clothing. Bepilpil with pepper. Rashi explains that if a woman had bad breath, she would keep a peppercorn in her mouth, and that would help for her bad breath. So she's allowed to go out with that as long as it's for refuah. Ubegalgal melech with a thing, a lump of salt, which Rashi says is for someone who is suffering from a toothache. They would keep that in their mouth. And anything that's put in her mouth, although the Mefarshim explained for medicine, but like for example, to go out chewing gum, you wouldn't be able to do. She can't put this peppercorn in her mouth on Shabbos. The Mefarshim discussed why, but basically, as long as she had it before Shabbos, she could go out in Rosh Hashanah with it. If it were to fall out of her mouth, then it shouldn't return. Now, the machlokas, how to read this, Rashi brings the machlokas, two different gersos. So it's possible the next thing we're talking about is one category or two. If it's two, Then we're continuing our list of things she can go out with, which would be Shein Toseves, which is someone else's tooth. So basically, she would insert into her mouth a denture, but it was actually someone else's tooth, it seems. And continues the Gemara, but Shein Shel Zahav, but a golden tooth. And some understand Rashi, the way Rashi brings, is Shein Toseves, Shein Shel Zahav might all be one category. It's basically the idea of it's a golden tooth. Rebbe Matir, Rebbe says it's Mutar HaChacham Mosim, the Chacham says it's Aser. We're going to see that a lot of the things we talk about here have to do with the fact that we're worried if people are going to make fun of her, she's going to feel embarrassed, so she'll pull it out, and then she might come to carry it. So it's a question whether a woman would be embarrassed of a gold tooth or not. If yes, then we're worried maybe she's going to pull it out and walk with it, and if not, we're not. So that's the Machlokas Rebbe and the Chacham. Says the Gemara. The Gemara is discussing the fact that it said that a woman can put hair as something made out of hair to tie her own hair, to braid her own hair. And it said whether it's her own hair, whether it's her friend's hair, or it's the hair of a behemoth. So the Gemara is saying, why do I need all three? Just tell me that hair is not a problem. So the Gemara says, I need all three. So maybe only her hair, because it's not disgusting to her to have her own hair, even though it's disconnected, but she's putting it back in her head in order to fill out her hair. Avachaverta, or to braid her hair. Avachaverta de mayis emalo. But maybe to put someone else's hair, like I don't mind putting my own hair in my head, but I don't want someone else's hair, so I might say that you can't go out with. So therefore, the Mishnah had to tell me that even if it's someone else's hair, she can go out, she's not going to get made fun of and pull it out. V'yashmin and the chaverta, and if it only told me that her own hair or her friend's hair, debas minahu. Because at least her friend's hair is human hair. Avol de behema, but if you have animal hair, la bar minahu. It's different. It looks different than human hair. Emalo, I would say no. Therefore, tzricha, I needed all three to tell me whether it's her own hair, her friend's hair, or animal hair. It's not a problem. Tana, we learned. So the Braisa adds, wait a second, there's a condition to the woman being able to put someone else's hair in her thing. As long as you're not mixing white hair and regular hair, meaning that if a young girl were to go out with an old woman's hair, or an old woman would go out with a young woman's hair, that's not allowed. Why? Because people are going to mock it, and we're worried that they're going to pull it out. So it says the Gemara, wait a second, that's the Braisa. Bishlam is a Kena b'shel yalda shevachula. Okay, I get it why you have to tell me that an older woman shouldn't stick a younger woman's hair in her head, because what does the older woman want? She wants her hair to look more lustrous or full or not white, so she would put a young girl's hair in her head. But ela yalda b'shel zakena amai genai hula. He says, but why should the Bryson need to tell me that a young girl shouldn't put an old woman's white hair in her head? It's a genai, it's disgusting to her, so you don't need to tell it to me. So the Gemara says, I did the Tana Zakena B'Shel Yalda, Tana Nami Yalda B'Shel Zakena. Because since the Gemara needs to tell me that an older woman can't put a younger woman's hair in her head, so in for the parallel, it said, and a young girl cannot put an old woman's hair, but I didn't really need the Braisa to tell me that because everyone would know that that's something that she's going to get mocked by, she might feel bad, she'll pull it out of her head, and she will end up walking in Rishus HaRabim. Says the Gemara, B'Kavol U'Pei Nachris L'Chatzir. So again, what do we have? We have throughout this parak, we've been talking about all the things you can go in Rishus HaRabim with, you can't go in Rishus HaRabim with, and then we say here that kavol, this cap, and pe'a nachris, this someone else's hair, call it a sheitel for the moment, that you could take it out to the chatzir. So I'm a rav, kol she'asur chacham and latzis bo l'rishus HaRabim, asur latzis bo l'chatzir, chutz mi kavol u'pe'a nachris. So according to rav, everything we said you can't go out into Rishus HaRabim with, you can't go into a chatzar either with. You can have it in your house, but you can't go into a chatzar with it, except for kavol and pe'a nachris. Those two things, the Gemara, the Mishnah is making an exception. That's how Rav learns. We'll talk in a minute why there's an exception. And the Gemara says, Rabbanani bar Sasson, Mishmed Rabbi Shmuel, Amar, but Rabbanani bar Sasson, said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, hakol ke kavol. That everything is like a kavol, meaning all these things that we said a woman cannot go out into Rishus HaRabim with, She cannot go into Rishus HaRabim, but she can go into a chatzar with it. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. Learned in our Mishnah, but kavol u'bepei nachris l'chatzar. That our Mishnah said that a kavol and a pei nachris, she can go into a courtyard. So bishlam l'rav nicha. So he says, according to Rav, it makes perfect sense because Everything else is Asr in Rosh Hashanah and Chatzar. This is Mutter in a Chatzar. So it says, except for these two things, you can bring into a Chatzar. But El Rabbi Anani Bar Sosan Kasha. But our mission is a Kasha Rabbi Anani Bar Sosan. Because if you're saying everything that's Asr in Rosh Hashanah is Mutter in a Chatzar, so don't talk about Kabul and Pei Nachris. Just say, everything that was Asr in a Chatzar, you can have it. So our Mishnah seems to prove like Rav, not like Rabbi Anani Bar Sosan. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Anani Bar Sosan, Mishmei Deman Karmalei. Wait a second. Who did Rabbi Anani Bar Sosan say this in the name of? He said, Mishmei, the Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi. He said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi, Tanahu Polig. So he says, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi is a Tana. He's entitled to argue on our Mishnah. Rabbi Anani Bar Sosan was saying a halacha in the name of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi. So therefore, what are we left with? Our Mishnah is that we have say that everything is Asr, Nershus, Rabim, and in a Chatzar, except for Kavul and Pei Nachris, that you can have in a Chatzar. But according to Rabbi Nani Bar Sassan, who's quoting Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi, the halacha is everything that's Asr, Nershus, Rabim is Mutter in a Chatzar. Okay, says the Gemara, V'Rav Maishna Hani. So they ask, wait a second, Rav, you're saying everything is Asr in a Chatzar, everything that's Asr in a Rosh Hashanah is Asr in a Chatzar. You made an exception for two relatively esoteric things. This cap she wears over her hair and someone else's hair that she has. So the Gemara says, Amar Ula, Kalei, Kedei, what's the significance of these two things? Kedei Shalotis Gana Abayla. The Chazal accepted these items and said, in the Chatzar, which is where she hangs out, the Chatzar in the house, there she could wear it, so that she should not be disgusting to her husband. So basically, Rashi says, "Hetir lo ksas kishutin hanaim." They wanted to be mata her some of her nicer implements. So for whatever reason, a woman liked wearing this kavol and this pen nachris. So that they said, "We're going to let you wear something so that you should be appealing to your husband." And your husband will not find you disgusting. So they made an exception because a lot of these things we're dealing with were gzeres drabanan. And surely in a chatzar, there's no worry about carrying. So they say when they made an isser on carrying in a chatzar, they excluded these things because they wanted a woman to be pretty to her husband. Kedisanya, like we learned in a braisa, similar. It says vadava benidasa. It's talking about this is a pasuk that says vadava benidasa vazav ezovo lezachar lanakevel isha sheyishkav in tmeya. Right, so it's rattling off these things. So it talks about a woman hadava benidasa, that a woman who has a flow is in her nidos. Now we're going to see in the Gemara this, but basically nida can be understood in two senses. It can be understood as separate and apart. So like menuda, Rashi says, menuda is someone who's put in cheirim, is kept separately, or nidasa could refer to the tuma of nida. So we're going to say as follows. It says, vadava, a woman has a flow, but nidasa is in her nidos. So zekenim arishanim amru, so the zekenim arishanim, the early elders, they said as follows, that vadava, a woman is flowing, but nidasa should be separate, meaning she should be far from her husband, not in a way that she could end up sinning with her husband. So therefore, in order that she doesn't look too nice for her husband, shelo tikhol, that she shouldn't put on eye makeup, velo sifkos, Rashi says this is like a red something she put on her cheeks, like a blush or something like that, velo tiskashe pevigdei tzivonim, and she shouldn't wear like colored clothing, like nice clothing. Basically, when a woman is anida, she should not do things that make her more appealing to her husband because we're worried that they might come to sin. So until Rabbi Akiva came, v'limeid, and he taught them, im kein ata megana abayla v'nimsa bayla megarsha. If you're going to make a woman, you know, every month, spend some amount of that month looking bad for her husband's going to find her disgusting, he's going to divorce her. So Rabbi Akiva said, no, it doesn't work. How should we darsh in the pasuk that a woman who has her flow is in her nida? B'nidasa tehei acha tavam b'mayim. That she should be in her tumah of nida until she comes into the mikvah. So basically, he's saying, no, don't read the pasuk that a woman should be separate. A woman, yes, she has to stay apart from her husband, but she should put on eye makeup and she should put on blush so that she looks presentable to her husband and her husband doesn't end up divorcing her. So what do you see? You see that Rabbi Akiva was willing to uproot a gezeira of the Rishonim, the Kenan Rishonim, in order that a woman shouldn't be disgusting to her husband. So it's not surprising why Rav would say that they made an exception in a chatzar, that a woman can wear her kavul and her peyanachris because they wanted her to be appealing to her husband. So we see a precedent for this. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rav. Kol makom she'asur chachamim v'nei maris ha'ayin, afilu b'chadre chadarim asur. So if people, now we're going way back in Daf Yomi, but in Meseches Be'ah we learned this, that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that any place that the Chachamim asserted something because Maris Ayin, that even B'chadre Chadarim is asser. So what is this talking about? So like, for example, you cannot do things, Rashi brings the example of putting on, we talked about it, the armor, or connecting your animals the way it would look if you're going to market. The question is, if that's asser where people see you, is it also asser where no one sees you? So Rav's halacha is, yes, anytime the Chacham said we're worried about Maris Ayin, it doesn't matter even if you're in Chadrei Chadarim. So like, if you shouldn't wrap your sandwich in a Burger King wrapper, because people might think you went and did something wrong, you got Burger King. So then even if you're sitting in your own apartment, you shouldn't wrap your sandwich that way, because the halacha is anything that's asur mishum maris ayin in public is asur in private, also according to Rav. So says the Gemara, wait a second, I'll ask you a question. We learned in the Mishnah of Elohim Bezug, achol pisha pokok, we learned previously that if an animal had a bell, right? So if the animal walks around with the bell and you lead the animal, it's making noise. So that you can't do for sure. But what did we say? We said that you can't even use the animal when the bell is stuffed up, so it's not going to make a sound, right? Why? Because we said why do you put the bell on the animal when you're taking it to the market? So since people might see the bell on the animal and they're going to think you're taking it to the market, so therefore we said you can't do it, right? That was the Mishnah. But wait a second, V'tanya Idach, we learned another brisa that says pokek log zug shabbatavaro umetail ima b'chatzer. Once you plug up the bell so it's no longer making a sound, then in your own chatzar, you can lead the animal around even with this stuffed up bell. So what do you see? In public, you can't walk out with a stuffed up bell because people might think you're going to market. But when you're in the privacy of your own chatzar, you can go ahead and do that. So that shows you that there's a distinction. Just because the halacha of Maris Ayin applies in public, it seems to be a kasha on Rav, because Rav says it applies in private too, but yet we see you can carry around your animal without the, as long as the bell is stuffed up and doesn't make a sound, you can do it in your chatzar. So the Gemara says, you're right, Tanoihi, it's machlokas Tanoim, and Rav is like, Paskin's like the one who says that something that's also Mishum Maris Ayin is also Aser in private, but we're going to see there's another Mandam who says that as long as you're in private, you could do it because we're not worried about Maris Ayin. The sign, because we learned in a Brisa, top of Savachay, Amar Aleph, Shotchon Bechama, that you can spread out in your clothing in the sun, Avaloka Negadam, not in front of people. What's this talking about? Rashi explains. If someone, they got caught in a rainstorm, or they fell in a swimming pool, or they went in a river, whatever it is, his clothes are sopping wet, he comes out and he wants to spread them out so that the sun should dry them. So we're saying you can do that, but not in public. Because if you do it in public, people are going to think, oh, this guy's doing his laundry on Shabbos, and he's not allowed to. So therefore, you shouldn't do it in public, but you could do it as long as there aren't people there. You could dry out your clothing from falling in the river. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Osrim, but Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say, sorry, no can do. If it's usher in public, it's usher in private, and you shouldn't be able to do it. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Merav, who said that anything that's usher in public is usher in private, was going like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon, who say that you cannot dry your clothes that way. And the Brisa that said you could walk around your animal as long as the bell is stuffed up and not making noise was going like the Tana, who says that you can spread your clothes out, but not connected to Am. I'll take 1 second, people. We're finished for now, so if anyone wants, they can leave. But I'll just say very quickly that this question of our Gemara, so the Gemara discusses Peah Nachris, and the idea is that someone could put extra hair in their hair, so it looks like they have greater volume of hair. That's what we were talking about there. So the Gemara, so we say as follows, that she can do that in her chatzar, but not in the Rishus HaRavim. So there's a very, very famous Shulta Giborim, and the Shulta Giborim says as follows. He says, from here, you can bring a proof that women who go out when they're married with a wig, and it seems even if it's their own hair, right? So that they're allowed to do it, and it's not a problem. Where does he bring that proof? Because he brings it from our Gemara. So he says, So he says that basically, what do you see? You see that the woman can add other hair on top of her hair so that she looks like she has more hair. And she's going out with this head full of hair, uncovered hair, in public. So what do you see? You see that a woman can go in public in a sheitel because, here it's talking about the halachas of carrying. But obviously, if she's able to add hair to her hair and then go out into public, so you see that a woman can go in public wearing someone else's hair, and it's not a problem. And the Shulta Geburim proves that our Mishnah is talking about a woman who's married, because what did the Gemara say was the whole reason why they're allowed to go out, they're allowed to wear this Peah Nachris in the Chatzir, is because she shouldn't be disgusting to her husband. So obviously she's married. So you see, a married woman can go out in public with someone else's hair. Now, so says the Shulta Geburim, what about the fact that Chazal say that a hair in a woman is erva, it's considered erva to have uncovered hair. What about that? We have that all over the place. So the Shulta Geburim says that's only said that with hair that is attached to skin, as long as it's her hair and you see her head, that's a problem. But he says if you're dealing with hair that covers your other hair, then obviously you're not seeing her scalp, because her scalp is covered with this wig, right? And he says there's no difference whether it's her own hair or her friend's hair, because it's separated already and it can be covered, right? So now he says, well, maybe it means that they would put something on top of this hair. So you see this sometimes by some of the Hasidim, they wear a sheitel, but then they wear a hat on top of it. So he says, no, it can't be that that's required, because if so, the whole point of this thing was that she should look like she has more hair. And if you're covering the hair with a hat or something, so you can't see the hair, then what, how did it help her? What was the kishud? In what way was she beautifying herself through doing this? So therefore he says, clearly we're talking about a woman is able to go with uncovered hair, as long as it's not connected to her skin, you're not seeing her scalp and her hair, someone else's hair is good enough, and basically a wig is good. So now that is the famous Shulta Geburim. So the Be'er Sheva goes, protests very strongly against this. He brings from Rav Katzenelenbogen, and he says that when we talk in lots of places in the Gemara, it talks about a Peah Nachris, about a wig. He says that's only when it's under some other kind of cover, like a hat or something in front of it. He says, what about this, that the Shulta Geburim proved that he said that what's the point of beautifying herself if you just cover it? He says, Chas v'shalom, that's so, Rachmana litzlan midei kazos, from an opinion like this, that it should be mutter, that she should make herself appear like someone who's being over on the halachas of Moshe Rabbeinu, Shari Asa min HaTorah Latzis Vesaris Megulos, because a woman min HaTorah cannot go with uncovered hair. V'harbe dvarim asur chachamim shem Maris Ayin. So he says, first of all, it's Maris Ayin. If you're going to stick on a wig and it looks great and it looks like natural hair, so you're going to cause Maris Ayin, because you're looking like someone who's violating the halacha against going with uncovered hair. And he says, and even if you're going to say that, he says, and even if you're going to say that you can do that, that you can wear it, he says, just because you could do it in your chatzir doesn't mean you could do it in a rishus harabim. He says, or in a public rishus. So he says, because maybe when it said you could do it in the chatzir, it's only talking about the privacy of her own chatzir. So he says, even if it's true that she's adding hair to her head so that it should look good, that's for her husband. But how do you know that she can go out in public? So they're distinguishing the Be'er Sheva's understanding, the chatzir has to be her own private chatzir, versus the Shulta Geburim's understanding, a chatzir is a public place. By definition, a chatzir has multiple houses opening onto it, and therefore she's in view of the public. So there's more on this, they go on, but it's interesting to bring it to Halacha L'maisa. So the Ramah brings this Shulta Geburim, interestingly, in a totally different context. He says that if you have a woman who's wearing a sheitel, a wig, that you can say Kriya Shema in front of her, because you can't say Kriya Shema in front of an erva. A woman's hair is erva. So, but if she's wearing a wig, if she's wearing a shetel, then you can say Kriya Shema. That's how the Ramah brings it down. The Magen Avram brings the Shilta Gibarim that he says you can wear lechatchila a shetel, and he brings a raya from our Mishnah, and he answers up things for the Be'er Sheva. And the Prima Gadim writes that in those countries where people go out with an uncovered wig or uncovered shetel, he says they can be somech on the Shulchan Aruch, and he brings other rayas, lahatir, and there are people who go back and forth, lots and lots of opinions on this topic, but some of the Achronim really, side with the Be'er Sheva, and in Lach Mechoilo, which is the son of the Hafla, he says that his father, the Hafla, and his Bezdin used to put cherim, I don't know if he means literally, on a woman who wore a shetel. And the Chassam Sofer writes that he agrees with the Be'er Sheva, and therefore should be Aser. And in his Tzava, the Chassam Sofer himself writes, the Gamba Pe'anachris Anio Sarchem Iser Gomer. In his Tzava that he wrote to his children, he told them that they should not wear it. So there's a major, major dispute in the poskim about this question of wearing a wig. It's based, everyone that does it, it's based really on this Shilta Gibarim from this understanding of the Gemara. And, people say based on the Ramah, and the Shulchan Aruch, that you could, in countries where it's permitted, you could rely on it, based fully on the Gemara we learned today. Okay, and gutvach, and nice to see everyone, and have a wonderful week.